So we are in Mark chapter 12. It's really great if you can get it out on your phone and have a look. And this story is one of the most misunderstood stories in the New Testament, in my view. And where does this story occur? Can you tell me where it actually happens? Because this is really important. Did I hear it? It happens at the great temple of Jerusalem, the greatest sign of their religion and the presence of God, a place that had Solomon's colonnades, these great porches with many columns, a place of great grandeur and glory that really spoke of how amazing God is. And Jesus is in the temple court, and it says that he sat down. I wonder if he'd been talking so much. Any of you get like that? You've been talking so much that he sits down for a bit. And where does he sit down? Does anyone remember? This is really important. He sits, it says, opposite the temple treasury. Now, there were many, many big brass boxy kind of things with trumpety openings. And when you stuck things in them, they made lots and lots of noise. So you could go to the temple to worship God and to give your money to show how good you were and how much you loved God, etc., etc. And also you could give your offering so that God would hear your prayer. That's how they thought of it. And it's interesting. It says Jesus sat and what? Watched. He just sits and watches. And as he watches, it says, there come along what? Rich people. Here's my rich people. This guy's got bling, like he's got a big gold chain. And like this dude's got a Nike shirt, maybe. Just do it. Just give your money. Just do it. And they're wearing really awesome clothes. You can tell they're rich. You don't need to ask, are you rich? Because you can tell when someone's wearing that stuff, right? Anyone in the church doing that today? Just have a good look around. See who's rich. See who's wearing the stuff, the threads, you know, the robes. And these people are obviously covered in money. That is just so obvious when you see them. And they put, it says, large sums in the offering. This is their worship of God. Look at me. I give more than them. It's noisy and public. And it says, as Jesus watched, a widow comes along. Forgive my poor drawing. That's her head shawl, because of course they had to have a head shawl back then. And the widow is a bit sad because obviously her husband has died. And in that culture, she can't really own anything and she can't really do anything. And she's stuffed, honestly. She's lost the most important loved one in her life. And on top of that, she's got no economic value to those people or power. This is a culture that radically, radically discourages and disrespects women. And that's important to read, understand when you read this. And what does she do? It says she gives 2 cents. And I reckon that's where the old saying comes from, my 2 cents worth. I think it comes from here. And Jesus just watches this. And then he says to the disciples, literally, hey, come over here. Come and look at this. He calls them over to look at people giving offering, which is a bit weird, don't you think? And he says, truly, you know, when Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he means I'm going to say something really important here. He says, truly, and this is really important to notice. He says, truly, she gave what? She gave more, which isn't mathematically true. And they gave from what? Theirs came out of riches. This is what Jesus says. She gave more, for they gave out of riches, but she gave out of poverty. And then he says, and truly I say, she gave all she had. But the word all she had there, it's actually bios, bios. Can you think what that might mean? Biography, biology. It means life. I hope you got that right in your year 12 exams, guys. He literally says she gave all her life, all she had to live on. Okay. What does this story mean? If you turned on your telly this morning, you might have seen a guy called Creflo Dollar. And I just love to preach like Creflo Dollar. And I tell you to give all your money to me. And if you haven't got any money, just go get yourself a credit card and sign up and make a seed offering, and the Lord will pay you back 10 times. You know what Creflo Dollar says about this story? This is an example of how much to give. It's going to be a great offering today. You're all going to feel guilty about this. What does this story mean? One of the most misused stories, possibly, in all of the Bible. I'm going to ask you to think about that for a moment, and I'm not going to ask you to tell somebody nearby because I don't want to embarrass you, because I'm probably going to contradict you. So you might like to think, what was I going to say? Say something else. Think quietly for a moment. What does this story of her giving 2 cents and them giving a lot and then him saying she gave more, what does it mean? Just sit with it. This story could be used to tell you what to do. And I might do that yet. Could be fun. But as you try and think about what this story means, let me just ask you 3 questions about the story. First of all, does Jesus praise this woman's actions? If you've got the Bible in front of you, have a good look. Have a darn good look. Does he commend her, encourage her? Does he speak well of what she did? Does he say, that was awesome? Does he do any praising of her actions at all? Does he? Have a look. No, he does not. We've got to read the book instead of thinking we heard what it said. No praise. Okay. Does he speak of any feelings, you know, like, oh, wasn't that warm and cuddly and nice? How she's better than those rich dudes. Does he give any feelings about what happened? Happy, good, nice, warm? No, he does not. And does Jesus offer any command as a result of this story? A command would be, do something. Be like her. Give what she gave. Be generous like that. Do this. Is there any command out of what he just saw of any kind? Is there? No, there is not. So preachers, if we're going to preach this story and we praise her and we say she had greater faith than them and all that stuff, that's fine to say, but it's not in the reading. It is nowhere in the Bible. You know, Creflo Dollar preaches on this text and he says, give, give, give. And then he boasts about the fact that he bought a $65 million jet with our money. Wow. Benny Hinn uses this. He says, give money, it'll be a seed. And Benny Hinn, he bought a $40 million jet, a sports car and a mansion. Look it up. And when you give to these guys on your telly, these American evangelists, well, your little bit is just going to buy maybe one of the wheel nuts. And I wonder about this woman. I wonder about this in a culture where her offering, her 2 cents, you know what this temple had on its roof? Gold. A gold-covered roof. She wouldn't have even bought, 1% of a candle with that. This is a strange story to be using to tell people what to do, because this story is so often left without its what? Context. People will tell you all sorts of strange and ridiculous things that they think the Bible says, and you can do really well with that if you don't do context. But this story, let's just go back 2 sentences before it, and 2 sentences after it. And remember that chapters and verse numbers mean nothing because they're not in the original Bible. We made them up later as an indexing system to find our way. So let's hear just 2 sentences before and see what's going on. Where is Jesus in this? Well, he's been in the temple for some time and he's been talking up a storm and debating with who? Oh, he's been debating with these guys, the rich religious leaders. So we are in the temple for the whole lot. And guess what the topic of most of his conversation, not most, about half, let's say 50% of the conversation and debate has been about what? Do you know? Have a look, it's really interesting. It's been about money. And at the end of this debate, We're two sentences before. Now we're going to go one sentence before this happens. Jesus says the word, beware. Beware of who? Beware of them, he says. One sentence before he observed this, he says, beware of the religious leaders. He names a few things about them. He says they have nice clothes. The old translation is flowing robes, but, you know, none of you wear robes, right? He says they have nice clothes. They have butte prayers. They have these wonderful long prayers that sound so impressive, and you think, they're so close to God. I wish I could pray like that. And he says they have what? Places of honor? He says they devour. What does devour mean? It means literally to eat, doesn't it? They devour. They use what? What? Oh, widows. You see, if Jesus wanted to make a point about giving, he wouldn't have chosen a widow at this point, because he's just said, beware of the religious leaders. They're wearing flowing robes. They're fleecing the sheep. They're rich off the backs of poor people who are like going, God, heal me, God, heal me, God, heal me. Here's my 2 cents. Help me, God. And they're getting rich off that. And this is actually a story about religious oppression. Religions all through history have done this. Don't pretend they haven't. Religion is not always a good thing. And when your atheist friend starts to say that, don't be so quick to defend religion, because Jesus wasn't. And so he says, they devour widows, even for a show. What they're doing is they're fleecing the poor and telling them to give, to feed their own greed. That's actually what he says. We are one sentence before this happens. This is all one story. And finally, he really basically says, what these guys are doing, and yes, it's guys that are doing this, is all just a show. I wonder if you ever feel like faith is so easily a show. I reckon we should have a crap clothes Sunday, where we all deliberately come in rubbish clothes. What do you think? Yep, right, next week. And we'll shame you if you don't. Oh, whoops. No, that would be doing exactly what... Okay, so now let's go two sentences the other side of this story. What happens after that? Here's the great temple of Jerusalem. I'm putting a beautiful Star of David on it, and I'm just not going to get this right. So what happens is he says, beware, 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 the rich religious people with their show. Beware of Creflo Dollar and Joel Osteen and Benny Hinn. They're fleecing the sheep. And he sees this. And he says, she gave more. She's got a better heart. I think he is implying that. I'll give you that much, but only that much. Only that much, perhaps. And then what happens is he walks outside the temple. And as you go outside the temple, you start to get a better view because, you know, have you ever been to, I don't know, a big city like the Gold Coast and or maybe Ipswich? And you see high-rise buildings, you see big buildings. Have you ever noticed that? And when you're down below them, you can't really get a feel of the scope and the size. Do you know what I mean? So what it says now, next two sentences, it says, they walked outside the temple and the disciples saw the temple and they said, literally, wow. Ah. Ah. What great stones, what magnificent work. Look at the gold roof. How awesome is that? And Jesus says, behold. In other words, he says, see this, have a good look. Why does he say have a good look? Yeah, it's going to be gone soon. He says, see this. Do you remember the phrase? Not what? Not one stone will be left on top of another. Now, is this a prophecy? If it is, he nailed it, because that's exactly what happened in 70 AD, not long after this. I tell you what, this is more than a prophecy. This is not foretelling. This is what they call forthtelling. Jesus is actually making it happen. He is literally creating something with his word. Does that make sense? He says, see this? I now speak the word of God, powerful word of God, and it will make this temple fall. Not one stone will be left upon another. He is literally announcing the doom of the temple. He's literally saying, all that you just saw is over. I don't like it, and I'm going to smash it. He is, I think, you could even argue, this might be a long bow, he's almost pronouncing a curse, almost, on the temple. We're only two sentences out from that. This is all one unit and all one story. And Jesus has just said, you see all of that giving, oh, give, 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 give to be saved, give to be loved, give to be forgiven, give, give, give. He said, I declare that ended. I smash that. What's he going to smash that with? An offering, which is his body. And he says, you see this whole system of glorious buildings. You don't need a glorious building. What an ironic thing to say here at Emmanuel. You don't need a glorious building. Why? You don't need a temple anymore, he says. I declare that thing over and smashed and done. You don't need a temple with me anymore because you are the temple. I'm going to break the power of all that religious rubbish forever. Just have a look at the story now in context and have a think. What is he doing with telling us to notice this woman? You're going to go home and go, I need to give more, give more, give more. Well, I mean, honestly, I could preach a sermon on giving and I'd use lots of different Bible readings and the Bible does tell you to give. But this isn't one of those places. The big lesson that I would have you have today is a lesson about context, because there are people running around telling us at the moment all sorts of things the Bible says. For instance, did you know the Bible says there is no God? It does. Psalm 14, verse 1b. There is no God. You could have a great argument with somebody and tell them the Bible says there is no God. What have we done wrong with that? We've left out the context. Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool says in their heart, there is no God. And then it goes on to talk about them. So here's the context. Let's finish up. This woman is a champion. Jesus is on her side. Jesus knows her. He sees her and he notices her when no one else did. Do you ever feel not noticed? Jesus notices and he loves you. Jesus is not impressed with your outward show and with your money and with your bling and even with your great good works, because he notices you, the poorest, the lowest, the ones that are starving, and he loves you. And Jesus announces in this story to you that never again will religion be about climbing some ladder to look good and to impress others and to give as much as I can to get back. Never again will it be that. No, no, no. From now on, you don't need that because you have something else, which is called... Would it be funny if I didn't write grace here? You have grace. Grace is that God's love is free. It's all been paid for already on the cross of Jesus. He paid every cent. And so when we give in this place, and oh yeah, we do give, and we pray that that will go and get the gospel out to the world, but we give not to get, we give perhaps even more. It's not the amount, it's that we respond to grace. So I want to say to you, Jesus is the revolution. Forget about religious systems that are about being better than others, climbing some ladder, looking good. Wear your worst to church next week. Jesus is the revolution of grace. Amen.